Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't.
He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bottles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you
Well, that was something, wasn't it? And weren't we just a week or so ago wondering what we were going to talk about during this time in sports?
Yeah,
basketball had come to an end.
Not to get too inside baseball.
Football had come to an end.
We had several conversations like, you know, there's no LeBron in the playoffs this year.
Yeah,
it's not all that interesting.
But here's the thing about the world. It provides.
It does.
The world doth provide.
They do.
We've been doing this for years now. Years with Jeffrey, years before Jeffrey, and the world always provides.
Indeed.
And so let's just express some gratitude this morning for the world, which it does provide. Also gratitude for Jason Smith, who's going to be coming in here in the next segment. Deep gratitude for Jason Smith. And then and deep gratitude for Chris Harrington, who's going to be here at 10 o'clock. I don't actually know. I never know with Chris whether he's going to be in studio or on the phone.
Low-key,
he comes wandering in at 9:55 or 10, or he doesn't, and that's how it goes. And but we will see Chris today, and we will talk to Chris today and get his thoughts, which you can already read at the Daily Memphian, his early thoughts. But I can guarantee you there will be more thoughts, both on this radio program and as the day progresses, at the Daily Memphian, and so you can read his thoughts, and we'll talk to him. And then you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna talk to y'all. We are going to open up the phones. We haven't opened the phones in forever, have we?
It has been a while, probably since the early part of Tiger basketball season.
You know what else we haven't done? Poll.
That we haven't either.
We haven't done a poll.
And guess what? I got right. Twitter ready to go if you're ready.
What's today's poll topic? What is today's poll topic? Are you happy with all things considered? Are you happy with what the Grizzlies did yesterday? How about that? Taking all things into consideration, comma, are you happy with what the Grizzlies did yesterday? Did Thursday. Let's make it Thursday. How about that? And then tell me how people are going to vote on that. You predict to me how people are going to vote on that.
Taking all things into consideration, were you happy with...
Are you happy? Are you happy with what the Grizzlies did yesterday? Taking all things into consideration. That means Chris Wallace gone. Woohoo! I know a lot of you happy about that, right? It means JB Bickerstaff gone. There may be, I don't know. If you just literally voted on that one, which way would that go?
Yeah, that's the ultimate do the ends justify the means question.
No. Just on the fact that Chris Wallace, stop. Just JB going, being gone. Forget the how it happened. Just on the merits of JB being gone, if you could just isolate that question, yeah. Would people have voted, I'm happy he's gone? Or would they voted, I'm not happy he's gone?
I think it would have been a slight majority of happy he's gone, but I also think there would have been low turnout. I don't think that would have been
low turnout. Whereas the Wallace one be overwhelming.
Overwhelming,
happy he's gone.
And then
JB would be
yes.
You think slightly happy he's gone, and then there are two other elements. Of course, is how it happened.
Correct.
And then what came next, right? And so the question is. Taking all things into consideration, are you happy with what the Grizzlies did Thursday? Right? Is that the poll?
Yep.
Is it up?
It will be up as soon as I throw on this hashtag.
As soon as he throws on the hashtag, it will be up. And then we will take your calls at 10:25 or so whenever whenever we're done talking to Chris Harrington.
It is live now.
And the poll is now live. Taking all things. And okay, tell me how people are going to vote.
I think there's going to be more
negative?
No, I think it'll be
more
yes.
Positive.
Yeah, because I think at the end of the day, I started noticing around last evening, it was kind of once the emotion had worn off, it's like, well, we finally got what we wanted.
But did they?
Yeah, because I think most fans for an extremely long period of time had just
I mean, they would absolutely wanted Chris Wallace.
That's
gone.
What I'm saying.
And they
I
wanted
think,
change,
right.
And they wanted a new start.
And Chris Wallace, I think, had essentially become a symbol for the frustration with the franchise and what they've done. And so I think at that point, I think when you were able to finally get rid of that, I think by the end of the evening, that had changed overall.
The poll looks kind of buried here. You can't really see the poll. Poll's not working. I just clicked on the poll. I don't think the poll is working.
It's working. Seven
is
votes
it?
Already.
Okay. All right, that's fine. Well, I'm not seeing it correctly on mine then. Which way are we going? Which way are the early returns?
You're not going to be surprised.
What? Happy?
Yeah. Seven. Yeah. Right now we're 100%.
Really?
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
I just think
the biggest thing that happened was the Chris Wallace is over. Ding
exactly.
Dong, the witch is dead. The
yes.
witch is dead. The witch is dead. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's take you through it.
Mm-hmm.
So
a little flat there.
Yes,
it's early.
Yesterday, I went to the Grizzlies media event, and I listened to Chris Wallace, and there were really three things that he said that stood out. One is that it's too early to have a plan. I didn't clip that soundbite, but the other were he was asked about J.B. Bickerstaff, and he could not have answered more definitively or quickly. Here's that exchange.
Chris, you guys intend to bring J.B. Bickerstaff back?
Yes, we do. J.B. did a terrific job.
Before the question was
it
out.
Was, it, let's hear it again.
Chris, you guys intend to bring J.B. Bickerstaff back?
Yes, we do. J.B. did a terrific job.
Wow. Bango. Like, boom.
Done.
Like,
as you said, you could not be more definitive than that.
No. And then he was asked about his own situation.
I'm very comfortable here and comfortable working with him and really not worried about my situation at all.
Hopefully not too comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Again, plans change.
So what happened was this. There was this incredible reaction to this apparent, just utterly disconnected quality to Chris Wallace's remarks. It was as if he was talking about a 50-win team. Things are great. The future's great. We love our guys. JB's coming back. I'm coming back. Everyone's comfortable. We've done all the transactions have been great. Sure, there's been a few bump in the roads here, injuries, but we expect to be back in the playoffs next year, contending for the playoff spot next year. It was, you walked away from it, and this has been lost a little bit in what happened next. You walked away from it thinking, what in the world? I would like what he's having. Whatever he's having, I would like that. Peyote. I don't know what peyote exactly is, but my feeling is that's what peyote would do. Mm-hmm. Is it just lost in complete delusion, almost giving a middle finger to the fans. He wasn't, because he wasn't aggressively doing it, but the way that he totally just was not even acknowledging the unhappiness, the turmoil, the sloppiness,
it was Kevin Bacon in Animal House. All is well.
It was just unbelievable. And let's not forget that. Like, it was, had the what happened next not happened, they would be getting pummeled today for doing nothing.
Yes.
They would be getting pummeled today for being utterly disconnected and for doing nothing. They would be getting destroyed. I can tell you that was the mood. Like, what in the world did we just witness?
Right.
And it was all the reasons that he should have gone. But then, so I was, in fact, writing a column about Mike Conley's remarks. Mike Conley made it clear again, as politely as Mike Conley can, that it is time for him to move on. And I was writing a column about that, and I was just putting the finishing touches on it when the news came down, when the Grizzlies fed Woj the news that they had decided to whack J.B. Bickerstaff and hire and reassign Chris Wallace and look for a new coach. And they would make Jason Wexler the president of everything, the universe, as opposed to just the president mm-hmm. of business ops.
Yeah.
And Zach Klayman would become the head of personnel. He would not have official GM title, executive vice president of blah, 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 whatever is his title. But he's basically the general manager.
Vice president of basketball operations, I believe.
And so then he would, he will be the guy in personnel. And then Chris Wallace will be reassigned to a scouting role. I imagine, like he could be in charge of Lemon Donuts, Bismarck's, the whole Bear Claws. I imagine he'll be scouting those and the SEC for the team. John Hollinger has been reassigned. He will be largely working out of Atlanta, sort of in more of a big picture consulting type of role. And they are going to hire experienced people to put around Zach Klayman, including. And we're, in fact, interviewing at least two former general managers for that role. And so that's the new structure of the deal. It was done. And I will tell you that the Grizzlies believe that they did it, that there were, quote unquote, no good options here, right? And that there were no good options. And you either had a situation where you would have Chris Wallace and J.B. Bickerstaff out there answering questions, and then you'd whack them, or else you'd have a situation where you'd whack them and you'd force all the players to answer awkward questions,
mm-hmm.
right? I will tell you, it was not a hard call, and they made the wrong one.
Yes.
It just has never, ever, ever, ever done this way, and there is a reason. Buffalo Sabres just fired Phil Housley, and what they did is they fired Phil Housley, and then they had locker clean out day, like this, which is what you call it in the NHL. And everyone says, "Well, gosh, we're really sorry. It wasn't all his fault. You know, he shouldn't take the hit just because." But it's a business. That's what happens.
Black Monday in the NFL.
Black Monday in the NFL. Like
the guys still talk after. Yeah,
you do not let JB and Chris Wallace go out there and humiliate themselves. And it was like, and I understand there's not a lot of sympathy for Chris Wallace. And the amazing thing is that they somehow were able to make Chris Wallace seem sympathetic. Cause he went out there and was a fool yesterday, in what he said, totally, but but because of the way they did it, like, they didn't need to roll him out there and have him talk about the future. That's just stupid. And they didn't need to. And then particularly for JB, who's been, whatever you think of him as a coach, he has been nothing but pure graciousness and class. For him to go out there and have to answer questions about the future is BS. It's just BS. You don't do that to people. And I think it's symptomatic of something that has happened in this front office and that is larger than Chris Wallace. And it is that they don't like to face the music. Robert Pera doesn't like to face the music. They don't like to have public question and answer things. They just don't, right?
Correct.
They put players out there to take heat. They put whatever. And the argument would they were protecting the players, but how did they protect the play? Did they protect Mark and Mike when they were on the trade deck? When they were on the trade, did they stuck them out there for 2 weeks to answer questions
on a story they planted?
Right. Now again, their argument is that they were being respectful to let them know that they were being shopped and to let it that was the only way to do it. I'll tell you, it's not the way it's done.
Yeah. No,
there's a reason. There's a reason these things are not the way they're done. What you do is you say, "Oh, we take calls all the time on players. No player's untouchable." You know, I don't know about
these
rumors.
We're always listening to offers.
We're always listening to offers. It's always been true. We always will. That's what everyone says always. And here's the problem: if they had whacked Chris and JB before yesterday, before the press conference, here's what would have had to happen: they would have had to come out and speak.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. That was the answer.
That is what should have happened.
Yes.
Robert would have had to speak. Jason would have had to speak. Zach would have had to speak. And they didn't want to do that. They did not want the press conference to be, here we are, here's the new administration. And so they said, let's just wait. I think that they thought these were going to be innocuous, just sort of whatever. We had a good season, blah, blah, blah. And it didn't. And I think from the Grizzlies' perspective, it only became bad when Chris Wallace definitely said JB was back, which I understand he was not authorized to say. Like, he had not run that by Perry. He just went rogue on his own. But even if my argument is that even if he had not said that, it didn't matter. You don't let these dudes out there to embarrass themselves like that. You don't let them hang out there. You let them know. You don't put them through that. You treat them with class. And you take the heat. You take the heat. Now, it's not even heat. It would have been celebration. We would have been talking about Jason and Zach Klayman and all of that. And so, my own concern on this is twofold. Like, Gary spent his whole show basically yesterday talking about this, and I understand because I think it was outrageous the way they did it. My concern about it is twofold. One is I do think in the end, it did not speak well of the organization with how they treated those two people, particularly JB, right? I guess my larger concern, though, and this is the one that I was emphasizing on Gary's show, is if this is the view of, like, the idea is let's clean up the decision-making process because it has been too sloppy, reactive, and erratic over the last few years. And I agree with all of that, right?
Yep.
Let's have better processes. Let's be more rational. Let's make smarter decisions. This is the first decision they made, and it was not smart.
0-for-1.
They are 0-for-1. And if they don't believe it, literally just listen to anybody, read any reaction. There is no one who thinks they did it the right way except for the Grizzlies themselves. No one who thinks they did it the right way except for the Grizzlies.
And they're going to dig in because that's what they do.
They do think they did it the right way,
yes.
But they will. There is no one who thinks that they did. Now, having said that, I'm also totally willing to, like, that's one day. It is one day.
For sure.
And I think they bungled yesterday. The really important thing here is the structure going forward going to give us what people have wanted, which is a smarter, savvier, more modern Grizzlies decision-making process? And so there, I think I said in my column, it's either bold or risky, depending on how you want to describe it. You pick your adjective, right? It is not unprecedented to have a president of business ops, sort of someone who's not a basketball person, overseeing the whole thing.
Correct.
Right? And it doesn't mean that person is scouting players. I don't think anyone thinks Jason Wexler is going to be at the Big East tournament scouting players, right? At least that's not what I don't believe that's how he perceives his role to be. He wants to make sure things are rational. Jason is a smart guy. He's invested in the city of Memphis. He's done good work on the business side, and is I literally had, you know, people calling me last night to tell me how unbelievably lucky the organization is that Jason Wexler is going to be in this position. I don't at all for a moment disagree that Jason Wexler is a smart, capable guy. And we saw this throughout the whole ownership struggle, that he has Memphis's best interest at heart. I think that's critical. I think he has Memphis's best interest at heart. I think those things are absolutely true. I also don't doubt that Zach Klayman is a smart, promising dude. He is young. He graduated from USC in 2010. What year did you graduate from college?
2011. He's a year older than I am.
He's basically putting Jeffrey in charge of the Grizzlies.
Yes.
He graduated from Duke Law School in 2013. Mm-hmm.
This is where our tracks start to go a little
differently. He was working for Proskauer Rose, which is the New York law firm where David Stern, where basically everyone who, it's the NBA's law firm, okay? He went and he has been, he picked all of these spots so he could do sports law stuff along the way, right? He has been grooming himself for this. This is what he wanted to do. He didn't just wake up one morning and decide, oh, by the way, I'd like to be a NBA executive.
Correct.
He's been working towards this from the very beginning. It's why he went to USC. It's why he picked Duke Law, because they have a robust sports law program. It's why he went to Proskauer Rose. This is what he wanted to do. What happened was when Joe Abadi became overwhelmed with how much he was doing, they were working with him anyway, and so they said, oh, he's a smart dude. Let's bring him in as counsel. So they bring him in as counsel, and then last summer, for the first time, they say, you want to start working on some personnel stuff too? And so they elevated him to an assistant GM job, and he started doing personnel stuff too. In fact, I first met him scouting like a Tigers game, I think, because he's – but literally, he only started in personnel work last summer, right?
Correct.
That's when he started in personnel work.
Yes.
And he is now the GM.
Yes. He has complete roster control.
I am not someone who believes, well, no one has complete roster control. Robert Parra has complete roster control. I am not someone who believes you have to be a 40-year NBA lifer, a.k.a. Chris Wallace, mm-hmm. in order to do a good job running a sports franchise. Indeed, I think the evidence is almost to the contrary now. Like, look at Theo Epstein, right? How old was Theo Epstein when he produced the first World Series for the Boston Red Sox in eons?
I think 31. Let me double check.
I think he might have been younger than that. He may have even still been in his 20s. Maybe he was 28 when he took the job. I don't know. But
I think he was like 28 or 29.
You don't have to have been doing this for decades and decades and decades in order to do a good job. This is not, as they say, rocket surgery. And he is, Jason Wexler's a smart guy. He's a smart guy. And I am told that they really are interested in hiring real people, real basketball people, as part of that front office, to give some expertise and experience to the department. And that's good. Let's be honest. If we're being completely honest, you have to ask yourself, why didn't they just bring in an experienced executive as number one to Zach Klayman's number two?
Correct.
Right? I mean,
yes, that's a fair question to ask.
Like, wouldn't it, it is, I'm not saying he can't do the job. It is a shockingly, blisteringly fast rise for a kid who only, a kid, I don't mean to demean him, for a man who only started doing personnel work last summer. It is a blisteringly fast ride to become essentially the general manager of the team.
Yes, that's more than fair to say.
And this would have been, what happened yesterday would have been a slam dunk had they, A, whacked Wallace and JB before the presser, and B, run out a new presser, and instead they would have had Wexler, could still have been team president, right?
Yes.
A new president of basketball operations who is an experienced NBA person, and then Zach Klayman number two.
Yes.
Then we would be having a parade.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, then
river,
it would
everything,
a fireworks parade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Up and down Beale. This, we might have just turned it into Memphis in May. We might have just rolled it.
Right.
Yeah.
Now it is, that was messy yesterday.
Ooh. How do we feel about this?
And questions going forward, which will start to be answered today as Jason Wexler and Zach Klayman start to meet with the media today. So that will happen today, and I hope it works. I mean, that's how I am with everybody. It's how I am with when Tubby was hired. I'm not even comparing this to Tubby being hired, but it's when Tubby was hired, when Mike Norvell was
hired.
Who
knows?
When Tubby was hired, when Mike Norvell was hired, when Justin Fuente was hired, when Larry Porter was hired, when Mark Ivoroni was hired, when in the end what you do is you say, okay, it is either what you would have done or not what you would have done in either circumstance,
sure.
Right? Lionel Hollins, not what I would have done. Worked out brilliantly, right?
Yes.
Not what I, no question, not what I would have done. Worked out brilliantly. Mark Ivoroni, I was like everyone else. Oh, he's the smart, young, great, hot coach. That's what I would have done. Worked out horribly.
Looks like a wizard.
So this is very clearly, I would have whacked. I would have, and as for JB, he was in a really rough spot. I mean, he took over in a time of unbelievable turmoil last year. And then this year, he basically.
He had two teams at one point.
Right, he coached the first team, which was the Mark team, and then he coached this team. And I think he did a better job the second half. I don't know that, like, he did some strange things. I mean, he started Chandler Parsons over Kyle Anderson. Like, what
absolutely
in the world?
Absolutely. Sorry. He's an acceptable douchebag.
There we go, sorry.
I'm not saying that the Grizzlies lost a great tactical mind in J.B. Bickerstaff, but he had deep affection and respect to those players. You should have heard Jonas Valanciunas talking about him yesterday. And but in terms of whacking Wallace and whacking Bickerstaff, I probably would have done that. I would have done that. In terms of doing it the way they did it, I absolutely would not have done it that way, and you will never convince me that that was the right way to do it. And then in terms of what they're doing going forward, I would say there's a big old question mark.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I don't know how.
Let's see who they bring in as an experienced person, and let's see if things.
Theo was 30 when they won, when they broke the curse, and then he got the gig at. He got the gig at 27.
Yeah, you don't have to be a fossil in order to do a good job at this job. All right, so the schedule today: Jason Smith is going to join us next. Chris Harrington after that, and then we'll take your calls. Exciting day here! Oh! You know what else we got today?
What else we got today?
We got the ping pong balls.
Uh-oh, that's right.
We got the first round of ping pong balls. That will be happening today, too.
The blind draw. What is it again?
When we learn, it's whether the Grizzlies are 7th, 8th, or 9th heading into the draft.
Correct. What is the method?
The draft. It's. I'm told it's ping pong balls.
All right. At least you're staying consistent.
No, I am. I was told last night that it is, in fact, ping pong balls. And so that will be that is apparently the method that they use, but honestly, that is a huge development for today. Absolutely a huge development for today. I do want to tell you, before we break, if you haven't called Affordable Blinds yet, you're making a mistake. Several people now have asked me off the air about who this blind company is that I keep recommending, and it delights me to be able to give them the information, because I know honestly, Chip Wiggins is one of the most personable and most professional guys that I've met since I've started doing endorsements. They can transform your home or business, Affordable Blinds can, in a way that you cannot imagine. If you want to go, if you've got a sense of it, go to their Facebook page at Affordable Blinds, and you will get a sense of it. They got videos and everything else. You want motorized blinds, you want cordless blinds. The federal government does not allow people to sell corded blinds anymore, and that's a reason for that. It's because they're dangerous. So you want cordless blinds, you want beautiful plantation shutters, whatever it is, 753-5822. He'll come to your home, measure everything, let you know how this could all work. And if you want to go ahead, within 1 to 3 weeks, it could be done. They call it Affordable Blinds for a reason. They are affordable, also the best quality, and the fastest service. Check out their Facebook page, affordableblindsofmemphis.com. Give them a call, 753-5822. Jason Smith next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You better get ready for a brand new day.
Why does it matter to have a regional bank started right here in Memphis like Triumph Bank? It matters because of people like Octavius Nixon. Grows up here in Memphis. Student at Binghamton Christian Academy, wants to go into construction. You walk into most banks, what happens? Sorry, don't have any credit for you. You're too young. You don't have enough experience. We can't help you. Come back when you're already a billionaire. Very hard time getting credit. So what does he do? Runs into Tim Martin, one of the commercial bankers at Triumph Bank. They sit down. They tweak his business plan. It's really more of a sort of a helpful consultant relationship than anything else. End up giving him a loan to buy a building, line of credit, so he can hire who he needs to hire. Now he has Nixon General Contractors, and they got a project going on down at the riverfront. That spirit of saying yes, it applies to Octavius Nixon, but it applies to the way they do banking. Let's make this happen. Let's make it work for you. Let's have all the power of a big bank, but the personal touch that only a local bank can have. Go see my friends at Triumph Bank. Joined now by Jason Smith. Jason is...
Hello.
The Jason in the Jason and John radio show that is on from 11 until 2 every single day. Did this drop during your show?
Mm-mm. We were all on the... What? Oh, it's all the same for the whole show.
What?
We were all, you know, everything's the same for the whole show. Oh,
no, I was going to say this didn't happen.
Yeah, until after.
It didn't happen until after.
That's what you're asking me, yes. It happened afterwards.
That's crappy for us, isn't it?
Well, I thought about it that way. Think about it, though. We were putting out the wrong message for a good 3 hours, and what good does that do fans? But I thought about this, Jeff.
What did you think about?
You know what they did?
What?
I said, well, if we just come out and announce that we fired everybody, well, that's what they're expecting anyway, and we'll just kind of get a, okay, thanks. But if we tell them that the old crew's coming back and depress the mess out of them and then come back a couple hours later and tell them we've made, well, then that might get us a little more pop.
Well, it certainly got them pop.
What a mess.
Were you, when...
I feel like you wasted your time. And seriously, we wasted the time of the fans by putting that message out, by them allowing that message to get out. What's the point of doing that for two, three hours where that's out there?
By the way, were you...
What in the world is the point?
Were you killing them for everything's fine? Because the message during that press conference was everything's fine, JB's coming back,
we were rolling our eyes. I mean, how much... We were rolling our eyes, doing a little killing, but how much killing can you do when you sort of expected that anyway, right? You're sort of...
Did I expect it? I was of this view. There was no way they could possibly do it.
You wouldn't have been shocked, but you'd have been surprised if they came back, right?
I couldn't have believed that they actually thought that.
Well, that's what we did for 3 hours. You know? And I mean, it started with you telling us, and when we saw the email that Chris Wallace was coming out, I mean, we were all rolling our eyes.
Let me pretend. I'll make the argument on behalf of the Grizzlies, and you tell me why this is not true. Okay?
You go right ahead.
Okay, Jason. We didn't want this. Is just pretend I'm anyone. I'm Robert, pretend I'm Robert Pera.
Okay,
I'll be Robert Pera.
Talk to me.
What happened was we didn't. Everyone says we could have fired Chris Wallace or reassigned him a week ago, mm-hmm. like whatever. Mm-hmm. But if we had, JB would have been coaching under a cloud, and all the players would have faced questions about that. And we didn't want to have JB coaching under a cloud his last 2 weeks, and so we didn't want to fire Chris Wallace then. We didn't want to reassign him then. And in terms of yesterday morning, we thought we had no idea that Chris Wallace was going to say that JB is coming back. We didn't authorize him to say that.
Yeah, right. Well, you weren't going to get. You didn't think that was going to get asked.
He had not run it past
Smart
us
man,
that
Pera.
He was going to say that, mm-hmm. and we didn't want to put the players, most of whom have just moved to Memphis, in the awkward position of having to answer questions about this regime change. And so that's why we did it afterwards.
How about they didn't want the players to say good things about JB and damn, how are you going to fire him? I mean, we thought, you know, they're not going to go crazy. They're professionals that are still with the Grizzlies, but they're going to be like, maybe they're a little confused by it, or maybe some of them are angered by it because, as you said, and put it eloquently, I can't put it any better, he had the deep affection, he had the trust of those guys. I mean, DeLon Wright got better under him. JB got better under him. These guys are getting the first minutes and real trust from a coach, probably, in terms of, hey, just go get it now. You have to, and have anything else to play. But they're feeling good for JB. I mean, for JB. And ask Valanciunas. He loves the guy. And so, yeah, you can tell me you're protecting them from brother.
What
they do that everywhere. The coach gets fired everywhere, and the players have to respond.
It has literally never been done this way.
And what do? They professionally say, you know what? I mean,
it's a business.
It's a business, and these things happen. We love JB. Yeah, we feel
really
like he made us better.
That's what
happens everywhere. You don't march out a fake story for 2-3 hours and then come back and give this news. You know, and that's what makes you more irrelevant. Stuff like this in the NBA.
Do you believe there is anything to the idea that they humiliated either Chris or JB?
I don't care about Chris.
Okay. Now,
in the sense that there was a lot of this sympathy stuff, he's still got a job back there. He's still playing out the string, whether he goes another year or not.
It's clearly worse for JB. They shouldn't have let JB go.
I thought John Martin said it with Gary or somebody yesterday. If anybody least deserving in there, he's the one. But I'm not going to sit here and die on a hill and tell you should have kept JB.
No, I'm not either.
No, I'm not going to do that because, look, while I think he did a good job there at the end with a bunch of pieces.
Right.
Not just making it look like a team, but playing pretty damn well. Some guys got better underneath him, right? But I can't tell you I know for sure he's the coach of the future. So if you want to do that, that's fine. My thing was don't not fire everybody and just fire JB. That's the thing because we've said the problem ain't coaching. The reason they're at is not just coaching. It's the roster. It's the organization of the front office.
I believe this.
Is silly.
Funny. I think they were protecting themselves.
No doubt.
They were protecting themselves by two ways.
Wex wasn't ready to go out. Kleiman's not ready to go out there.
They didn't want to.
What happens if you guys start asking them that first day, hey, tell us about your basketball. Wex, we love what you've done on the business side now. Are you on you going to be making basketball decisions
too? Funny.
They're not ready for that.
Today what they're doing is they are meeting with people today, right?
Should have just did it postponed.
But it's interesting. They're doing it in a small clusters, like mm-hmm. the Daily Memphian will have our chance to ask questions and whatever. They don't want to do if we don't fire beforehand, you're exactly right. The players won't have to get any blowback from the players. Players won't say, we love JB. This was a stupid decision.
Control that.
We won't be criticized by that.
100%.
And we won't have to stand up in front of the media, which
and
they don't
like to do.
And ask
some questions that we wouldn't have control of.
And they
have
Calkins
firing
and,
at us and
have people just firing whatever.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the
and
job.
Maybe, yeah. And maybe look like, you know, like
honestly,
we weren't ready, you know, like we, you know, this plan hadn't been hatched for a
they
while.
They should have. That's what they should have done. It's part of the job.
It's how you do business in the NBA. We're the only ones you're looking at and say, what the hell happened here? And again, okay, this morning on Get Up, and I know it's the Grizzlies, but this morning, you know, Jaeger got fired in Sacramento. Larry Drew lost a job in Cleveland. Well, we had a pretty big mess here. I didn't even talk about you. And I fear that it's when we have Windhorst on and when we have, you know, Mannix on, they talk about the guys they talk, you know, in the NBA, they talk to front offices, all that. We're looked at as dysfunctional. And I don't know how this is any evidence.
Well, okay, let's
that.
Look. Let's.
It doesn't help.
I agree that. Okay, so it was
Mike
a bad
Conley's
first
blasting
day.
You.
That is incredible. Well, so, Mike Conley says no words. Mike
so,
Conley.
So you think Jaren doesn't see that and say, "Damn, man, that is a little messed up." And you know, and
well,
that
you
starts.
Don't Valanciunas.
Valanciunas, exactly. Well, what kind of organization
well,
is
right.
this?
Yeah.
I thought this thing, you know, JB looked stable. I felt whatever. Just the going out 2-3 hours. You're telling the players. Hey, go work out.
They
do this,
had their team
to come
meeting.
Back to my
they
system.
Had their team meeting with JB.
That's what you're running JB through meetings with players that don't mean a damn thing, because they're not going to be coached by him. Wouldn't you? Okay, you're ready to move on from JB. Well, tell him, hold on, we're going to go get you a coach and all that, and we'll get back to you. You don't do it this way where he's giving them.
And that way you have the meeting with them. The real management has the meeting with them as opposed
like
to.
Like professionals. Like it's done everywhere.
Like it's done everywhere. It is. This is like.
What a circus. It's just a dog and pony show.
There is no way. This is the way it's done everywhere. Now,
but we're here to protect
this. Let me ask
this
you this.
And please.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Scared.
They had a bad first day.
Yes, I like the way you turned this. We're all rooting, still rooting for him.
You have to root for him, right?
Rooting for Kleiman. I'm hoping he's a genius.
Right.
You know, I know Wex is great on the business side. I suspect he'll come in and, you know, he's not a basketball guy, but he's going to know the right, you know, he's going to put it in the right hands. You know, I mean, right. The guy runs a tight ship.
And I think they have.
They've got smart people.
I hope they have I think this is critical.
Still like to have a basketball guy in there, right?
Well, and they say they're going to. They say they're going to have a former.
Yeah, but isn't
GM
that just
there?
Another cook in the kitchen too, Jeff? That we won't be able to say, "Well, damn." I mean, I guess we'll
well,
all
I mean,
pin this on Wexler now.
Yeah, everybody.
You know, decisions.
Everybody has
tons
staff.
Of cooks in the kitchen.
No
I
one
know.
Does. Yes, no one does. A.
But
I think you'll be able to say. I think it's actually be on
what
on
who?
Zach. I think Zach will be the ultimate.
Right. So you tell me what good. I'm sure there's plenty of them out there, veteran front office guys that'll come in and do some advising for you. But what you're not offering them is the chance to really have a vision and go execute it. Right?
I don't think they wanted to hand that. Here's my belief there
that's
is,
what I'm
is that
Wait,
they didn't
you got...
want to hand that power to someone. Because Para likes having that power. And he
and
likes,
he likes
he
having
knows,
it with the smart
he
guys.
He can get along. Let's be honest. They all kind of are cut from the same cloth. Right?
Yes.
And if you think a body isn't still involved, you're fooling yourself.
Feels
so
like it.
There's a body who's a New York lawyer, right? There's Jason Wexler.
Who he listens closest to.
He's a New York lawyer. There's Jason Wexler, who is a true Memphian now, but what's he from?
A real estate guy,
he's
right?
Yeah, and before that he was a lawyer. He was a lawyer and then a real estate guy.
Mm-hmm.
What's Zach? He's
lawyer.
A lawyer.
He went to Duke Law.
The three big hitters.
Super smart guys, geniuses, right?
They all are
yeah.
lawyers. Like they're all like, literally they were all New York lawyers. Like they're mm-hmm. all New York lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
And,
but, and don't
that's
we think it's been,
the team.
It's been running that way probably for a little while at least, right?
There's no question.
Mm-hmm. So we can't now. Are we giving that crew credit for the Mark trade?
Well, it's interesting. Okay, let me ask you this.
You know what I'm saying? When did the change start?
There's no question. Zach made a lot of the calls on the Mark trade.
Yep.
Are you giving that crew the blame for the
what about Holiday?
For the Brooks? Are you giving that trade for the Holiday and
mm-hmm.
Brooks?
Which ones we count? Like so if you tell me.
So if you're saying well, they did a great job with the Mark thing, and I think right now.
I think
now,
we
most
like that
like
right
that.
Now.
Right. Are you saying they also screwed up the Brooks thing?
That's what I'm saying. Where did it switch? Because then they'd have a couple of misses too. And we'd have some, or we just giving them. So we don't know. And so anyway, I think what some of us have always wanted to see is the more traditional approach, is the basketball guy. Parrish shown us he's not interested in that. He's shown us what his approach is going to be. It's the smart guys. And with a basketball guy sort of, you know, advising them. We'll see if it works. I hope it does, Jeff. There's no question. I'm with you on that. But I have always thought that, okay, maybe Parrish's got to hand it over to a guy. Maybe give up a little bit of the control. Well, but we'll see how it works. There's two paths you could go there.
What happened is he's comfortable with Jason.
There's
he's
no
comfortable
question.
With Zach.
No question.
And he knows he can
he
keep
loves being
having his hand, his arms
doesn't
rolled
like
up.
Being questioned.
He was burned by when he handed it all over to Jason Levien. And so
100%.
He's and I am not saying, by the way, it is not I am not saying it is not gonna work.
Me either. I hope it does.
But
you see the two different paths, and I would have preferred I think many of us would have preferred the old school traditional get your basketball guy, give it to him, and let's see
make,
what because
make,
then you got
make
one
Zach
vision.
Number two, who's
mm-hmm. which
been
seems
with the
like
club
where he needs to be anyway right
it
now.
It would seem where he wanted to be, where he should be. Now,
you
having
know,
said
he's
that,
shown
I
us
also,
he's a, you know,
I also do believe that
as fast
if
as you
people
move up,
are good, like John Calipari was coach at UMass at 28, right? You know, Mitch Albom was a columnist at 28. Dan Labatard was a columnist at 27. Like, I do think that people who are good at their jobs.
He must be to have. To have earned the power that quickly.
What
in that
we just said, Theo Epstein won the World Series at 30? 30. Theo Epstein won a World Series at 30. You don't have to be a fossil in order to be.
No, the guy could be a young star. And he's moved up quickly, and that shows you he must be to have earned the respect and the trust, quite frankly, as quickly as he's done, coming from his background, shows you he might be a young genius. Maybe he is.
Right.
And so, again, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying this ain't going to work. Just saying, I thought this was a better plan. Let's hope this one works.
Right. Even if they brought in a, quote-unquote, veteran basketball executive, and let's be clear, you wouldn't have had your choice of them.
No.
You would have been at the bottom of the barrel. You wouldn't have been picking, you know.
And you may have further, you know, same thing with.
And that one might not have worked either.
Like same thing now. I mean, so, you have to change your.
You have a veteran basketball executive in Chris Wallace, you know. So, okay, separate topic very quickly. Jack Jones shootout. You went?
Mm-hmm. Saw trending, saw DJ, working on a piece on DJ for next week.
All right. So did you see them both play?
On the same team. It was kind of stacked against old Keaton Lawson and the local
how
squad.
How did they each look?
The thing that strikes you about Trendon is how huge he is.
Really?
It's right off the top. When you're standing next to him when he's on a basketball court, he is so much bigger than the other high school players.
Bigger, like broad-shouldered?
Yeah,
bigger?
Shoulders. Jeff, I've been talking about the whole time. He's got massive hands. You put him underneath the basket on a college basketball team, and he is going to dominate because he's so strong. His frame is – if you put the muscle on it, he can carry a – you know, he's already – he's got to be 220. I mean, you know, 210, 250, and
can
solid
as
a rock. Yeah, we saw a little bit of him in the three-point shots. It's an improving three-point shot. Same thing for Jeffries. I'd say Jeffries is a little bit more natural in terms of shooting the ball from the outside. You can tell he's worked on it longer, probably more. Trendon is a more of an around-the-basket guy who's getting outside.
If they both came to Memphis, would Trendon be the four, Wiseman would be the five, and DJ would be the three? Now, if
you put him on the wing, because he
DJ
is more
four,
a wing, he is more of a wing naturally than Trendon is, in my book. Yes, watching
if Trendon doesn't
play.
Come, though, is he also, is, can
you can
DJ
put him
be
at the
four?
DJ's going to be a 3-4 the whole way through his career here. You're going to play him at both spots.
Okay. So then the other part of it is, what you saw on the court. And I gather James Wiseman is out. Where's he playing?
He's
playing
at
some
USA
thing, and he's been great.
Everyone
says he's been great. But there was also some, of course, Trendon has not decided. What did we learn about this last night?
His is interesting because you're going to have Matthew Hurt announcing on April 19th, and Trendon's announcing on April 20th, the same day as the Jordan Brand Classic that he's in and DJ Jeffries is also in. He doesn't have the offer from Duke yet, and yet they're among his finalists. Matthew Hurt does. He announces one day sooner. Oh. You figure that. Have you heard this?
No.
Yeah. Well, this is
makes sense though. I'm just
if explaining. Matthew Hurt passes on Duke, you figure Duke's plan is then to offer that scholarship to Trendon. And if he gets that scholarship again, he says he's announcing April 20th one way or the other. This is a day after Matthew Hurt. If he gets that Duke scholarship, I imagine, okay, I'm out. Do you need a visit to go see? We were talking about this last night. Do you actually need an official visit to go to Duke? Probably not. Most kids, when they get that offer, usually they're ready. Matthew's had it the whole time. So that's the way I'm looking at that. Now, Matthew goes to Duke. That offer doesn't come to Trendon. You're sitting there with you in Alabama with a new coach. Look at the mess going on at LSU. I mean, you got to feel pretty darn good about your chances. And listen, DJ says he feels good about it. Wiseman's calling him.
So you want – basically, you're not getting hurt. So you want Hurt to go to Duke. You want Hurt to go to Duke, and at that point, you feel pretty good about the chances of Trendon Washington.
I feel like, just from what we know, that would cut Duke out of the picture.
And didn't DJ say that he thought both Quinones and – And
so he's saying last night he feels good about it. We even asked Trendon about, I think it was Drew Hill asked Trendon about, okay, DJ says you're coming. And I won't lie to you, I was kind of expecting a smile or something like that. It was more like he does. Well, he must feel like we'd be pretty good together. You know, you can't read him.
Really?
You cannot read Trendon. You can read some of these guys. Lester feel like, you know, some of these guys you can read ball.
Okay, so when
he's
when,
playing it close
Jeffrey
to the vest.
When Jeffrey says what he says, do you put stock in it, or is he just talking?
Oh, no. I don't put stock in it because he's hearing it from the staff. He's hearing it from James. He's got a feel on it. He talked to him. He sat beside him the whole day last night, and he'll be beside him at the Jordan. Yeah, at the Jordan Brand Classic. And so he talks to him. When DJ says, I feel good about it, you have
There's
to feel good about it.
Feel good about it.
Because the staff's telling him, he's talking to him, and he knows James is talking to him. Right. And you saw Mama Wiseman this morning tweeting about it. They putting the full court press on Trent.
What
see
did
it?
Mama tweet?
It's a graphic of Trent and James and DJ saying, let's go. Mama Donsley artist, check it out.
That's fantastic.
They're putting the full court press on you.
Jason, thanks very much for joining
us. Thanks, brother.
I appreciate it. Jeffrey, guess where I went yesterday?
O'Call.
How'd you know?
I just, you know, just that intuition.
I can sense
when people are at O'Call.
First of all, so I went to O'Call and I did, I talked to some of their salespeople because I did a couple of recorded spots, and they keep introducing me to more salespeople. It's unbelievable, like who works there. I talked to one, and I'm not going to go into too much detail because it'll be in the recordings, but I talked to one guy when he was in sixth grade. He was living in Mumford, and when he was in sixth grade, his parents got him a leather jacket, which happened to be from O'Call. And it was the first time that he had owned something that was like really nice. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
And he realized what clothes could do for you and how they could make you feel. And he ended up going to banking, whatever else. And they said, yeah, this isn't for me. His nickname's Bear. And he said, and he went to O'Call, and he's been there ever since. And he helps people find their own leather jackets, as it were, right? Clothes that mean something that makes you feel special and better, you know, but not better than other people, better than you did before, right?
Better about yourself.
Your best self, yeah. And then I met another guy. He moved to Memphis to study in the seminary, right? But the person he was going to study with moved away, and his wife was pregnant, and he'd always loved clothes, and he always worked in retail, and so he got a job at O'Call. And you're like, what's the connection between the ministry and working at O'Call? And he says, it's the same stuff. It's relationships. It's people. It's and in fact, he still and he says he likes O'Call because of the integrity of the place. Well, it seems to me you could probably trust him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He still works as a music minister at a local Baptist church, and he is also an adjunct professor at a seminary. Like, that's the kind of folks that they have working at O'Call, and they love their job. As for me, I was there because tonight I make my coaching debut. Tonight I make my coaching debut. I expect you all to be out there to see it and ridicule me at the Liberty Bowl. Kicks off at 7, Tiger walks at 6, so be out there for all the festivities. I am going to be coaching 3 offensive series at the end of the proceedings. I'm going to be wearing my beautiful new Brax slacks, which are unbelievably mm-hmm. comfortable, and a Peter Millar blue striped, tiger blue
oh, yeah.
striped shirt.
Looking too good.
So they have me looking snappy, and that might be the best thing about my performance tonight. When we come back, Chris Harrington's going to join us. It's the Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Gawkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The truth I know, and a coat of gold, a coat of red, a lion still has claws, and mine are long. Sharp, my Lord, as long and sharp as yours. And so we spoke.
Let's do this
so
Harrington thing.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and Beyond. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar on 92.9's Jeff Gawkins Show.
No. Let me listen some more. Let me listen some more.
Yes, now the rains weep o'er us all, and not a soul to
What is this we're listening to?
This is The Rains of Castamere. It's a song that plays in Game of Thrones on the precipice of the Red Wedding, when lots of main characters are killed off. And so I think it fits both the consolidation of power, palace intrigue of yesterday at FedEx Forum, and also Game of Thrones comes back on
have
Sunday.
Have you watched
night.
all the seasons of Game of Thrones?
I have, yes.
And what's your view?
I think it's really good. I mean, it's the last season was not as good as the previous, because the plotting was so haywire, and some of the it was a little gratuitous early on in the first couple seasons. Maybe I think it sort of found its groove more in the middle. It's more of a matter of like, are you interested in the story? And I'm not typically like a fantasy person
right.
at all, but the level of sort of like, you know, it's almost like The Wire cross with Lord of the Rings, because there's more of a sense of like real like plotting and consequence, and more sort of, you know, to me it's a lot richer than most of that kind of stuff.
I was told it takes a little while. I watched the first half of the first show. It takes a little while to get into. Is that true? Or did you like it from the very start? You don't recall.
That's an individual
thing. Did you watch it from the very start?
No, I don't watch anything from the very start. I probably started watching it midway through and caught up to real time.
Okay. Anyway, yesterday was a very Game of Thronesy day. We thought it was like that when we were standing there and we saw that Vlade Divac was, quote unquote, consolidating his power around
right.
himself
right.
By whacking Dave Yeager. Yeah. Little did we know that there was a palace coup in the offing.
I used that exact anecdote in the series of thoughts I vomited out this morning at the coffee shop before I came over here.
Chris Harrington has a series of thoughts which you should absolutely read up at the Daily Memphian. I have just tweeted it out. His wife is away. He is single fathering and covering this. And so he went to a coffee shop this morning and he put his thoughts down, and you should read them by all means. I've just tweeted those out. All right. I don't even know where to start. What are your thoughts?
There's sort of three components to it. There is, and I can barely think. And so there is the decision that was made on the front office side. There's
yep.
the decision that was made on the coaching side. And then there was the manner of execution of the decision.
Okay, right? Well, let's take all these at once. Okay, right. So the decision that was made. Well, let's take the decisions that were made on the coaching and management side. The decision to get rid of J.B. Bickerstaff and to reassign Chris Wallace.
Right.
Let's take those. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think they're separate. I think the front office thing was way overdue. I mean, we've been saying this for like a year.
Right.
That they needed, and I'm actually heartened that there will be a new lead executive. Now, we'll see if it turns out to be the right thing going forward. But in terms of, it will not be a Chris Wallace-led front office anymore, and I think it needed to not be a Chris Wallace-led front office anymore. And so, like I think that is fine. And the idea of Jason Wexler sort of as the overarching president of the organization with both parts under him, I think that's fine. Whether it works out well or not, I don't know. That's to be determined. But I think it's fine. I think that is something we've seen before in the NBA.
They do it in Orlando right now.
Yeah. And
right.
so that's not some new thing. In fact, honestly, Jason Levien was sort of had the same sort of
right.
he came at it from the other he came at it from the other direction.
Right.
Like
he was an agent.
He was more basketball side oriented.
Right.
But he was over both. I think Wexler will be more business side oriented, but will be overseeing both. And so I think that's fine. We can talk about that more in detail. In terms of the rest of the front office, I think that it's to be determined because there's more hires to make and we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see whoever the most prominent new person who comes in, where do they really slot? And when I talked to people yesterday at different proximities to the situation, I got sort of different feedback on that. There were some people who thought, well, Zach Kleiman's the lead basketball guy, and whoever comes in will be sort of under him, almost like the old, like, get the veteran assistant to sit next to Josh Pastner or
right,
sit next
the X&O
to Penny
guy, right.
kind of thing, right? The X and O's guy. And there are some people who thought, well, I don't know. You know, it depends on who they hire. Maybe they'll slide in over. It was interesting when Adrian Wojnarowski first reported yesterday, he wrote it as Kleiman is the lead executive for now, and sort of left that open-ended a little bit. And so, to me, let's see who they hire and how they slot in. I don't think, and I wrote this today, it seems probably to a lot of people, like, and even to me a little bit, but it seems to a lot of people like, this is that climbing guy, just like, he's the lead guy now. Like, but when you look around, it's not that, it's not as unusual as it would have seemed 20 years ago. He is older than Sam Presti was, and Sam Presti became GM of the Seattle Supersonics. He's older than Rob Hennigan was, and Rob Hennigan became GM of the Orlando Magic. He's probably about the same age as John Horst was when he became GM of the Milwaukee Bucks 2 years ago, and now is a contender for Executive of the Year, right? These sort of young executives who, like, come from somewhat non-traditional backgrounds, more legal business kind of backgrounds, and work their way up quickly in organizations is increasingly becoming the norm. There's lots of examples around the league. Now, does that mean he's going to be good at it? I have no idea.
Well, and the separate question, again, I want to get back to the initial decision, the threshold question, I hope Zach Kleiman's great. I hope he's fantastic, and he may well be, and I'm not even that. It seems like a little bit too fast for him, a little bit. I guess I would ask if, in those other examples, did they only start doing personnel stuff a year ago? Less than a year ago. He started doing personnel stuff less than a year ago.
Yeah, it was sort of 2 years. Well, he came in 4 years ago. He spent 2 years as team counsel, really on the business side. And then year three, he added a basketball operations title, and he was more involved, more contractual and whatever, but he's sort of moving into the basketball side year three, and then more fully here this year.
This is the first year he really, I gather, was scouting and doing that kind of thing, like much more.
Yeah,
of that.
But see, we still, this is what it's going to be interesting, because we always trend back into this, like the idea of the GM as the scout, right? That's not necessarily always the case.
Right.
And I don't think he's not going to be Jerry West. He's not going to be Chris Wallace. He'll be a different kind of lead executive. He'll be more, I think, we'll find out, more of a process manager, right? It's not, we always go back to, like, who's the guy who made the decision? Who's the guy? I think they're trying to get away from that. And can they successfully get away from that into an organization where this is a guy who manages a process, and basketball people who are part of that organization are more involved in the player evaluation? And he's more involved in managing that information, managing this process, executing that, negotiating trades, negotiating contracts. I think that's where they're trying to move toward. I don't know if we're going to let him, because we're going to say, like, you're the GM, you're the guy.
I'm not even trying to. My point is this, is that Jason Wexler is process-oriented, and he's process. Like, who is? Like, and that's why, I guess, who they hire as this basketball person matters, because right now you've got, let's be honest, I'm told Joe Abadi's still involved. He's a New York lawyer. Jason Wexler's obviously involved. He's a New York lawyer.
Paralex's lawyers.
They all look like the same people. Like, they're all smart, lawyerly people.
Right.
Who's the basketball people? Tayshaun Prince is there.
Yep.
He's a basketball person, and they'll hire some people. And I'm not like old school hidebound. We just can't wait to get the old basketball person, which Chris Wallace was, I guess, out the door. So I'm not saying you have to be a hidebound, but I do think it has to be part of the mix.
Right. I wrote this
not just three New York lawyers.
I just wrote this an hour ago. I think it is reassuring to a degree that Tayshaun Prince is still there. It would be more encouraging if his profile got raised. I would like to see that happen. And as they fill out this front office, they need to add people whose talents are closer to the court. In terms of players, in terms of coaches, that has got to be a prominent part of what they add to the staff. And not only do they have to add that, it has to be utilized well. And maybe it has to be utilized above Zach Kleiman. Like I would be more comforted if they brought in someone who slotted above him, right, who was more of an experienced hand. But they have to – Wexler and Kleiman, as of right now, are the lead of this. They have to be clear-headed about their own strengths and limitations, and they have to act accordingly. They have to know what they don't know, and they have to shore that up, and they have to utilize it well. And that's what we don't know. We're going to find out. But I don't think whoever the lead person is in the basketball operation doesn't have to be the talent evaluation czar, super scout, right?
No, I agree. I agree with that. I want that in the mix very clearly. I mean, Jason Levien wasn't a talent evaluator, super scout. He did do scouting, and he was a basketball guy.
He managed the product. Now, he did some things, apparently, that got him out of here.
Right.
But in terms of managing roster, like, it looked fine, and it was more like that. It was not like, I'm the guy who's making every decision on every player.
He relied on Stu, for example.
Yes.
Stu was like more of a basketball guy than he was, right? And he would rely on his expertise, and And yeah, I understand. Yeah. Okay. UF, by the way, you know, know Zach well, but you've certainly met with him.
I've got to know him a lot better in the last few months.
Are you impressed?
I'm very impressed. My impression of him, getting to know him better over the last couple months, was that's a guy who's probably going to run an NBA team someday. I did not think someday was April 2019.
Right.
I'm not sure it should be April 2019 at all. We're going to find out, maybe, unless depending on what other moves they make. He's someone who is extremely smart, seems to be precise in his thinking, and seems to have been working towards this like a lot of people have around the league now. When you decide like you want to be a front office person in the NBA, I'm not an NBA player. How do you do that? You look at what he's done. This is how you do that. His undergraduate degree is in psychology, which applies. He's got a law degree from Duke, which applies. This is not the NBA of Red Auerbach days, right?
And it's also not accidental. He did this very intentionally.
Yes.
He became
all during his undergrad and grad school years, every internship he did, he'd internship with the Lakers, with the Knicks, with the Charlotte Bobcats then. He did all the stuff with NBA teams from PR intern up through basketball operations while he was doing all that. His job out of law school was for the law firm that works for the NBA.
Roscoe Rose.
Yes. Yep. The NBA's law firm. Maybe they have more than one, but one of the prominent law firms that does NBA work. I don't know this for certain. Someone told me this, not him, that he worked on the Donald Sterling stuff with the NBA. Mm-hmm. But what I do know, and I wrote about this today, the way he got to Memphis, he was representing the NBA in dealings with the Grizzlies.
Right.
And Joe, he worked with, as an NBA representative, he worked with Joe Abadi and Jason Wexler on legal issues between the Grizzlies and the NBA. They were impressed by him, and they had an open job for team counsel. They offered it to him because they were impressed by their own dealings with him in New York. That's how he got here, and since he's been here, he's been gradually sort of,
taking on more.
Swiftly but steadily sort of working his way up. Now, does it seem too soon to me? It does seem too soon to me. But again, you go back, like it's not unprecedented. It's you look at these other guys I mentioned who were as younger when they ascended to sort of those spots. It's becoming increasingly the norm around the NBA. The NBA is getting younger, sort of younger, quicker, smarter, faster, whatever. That doesn't mean it'll always work, right?
Right.
The best and brightest don't always succeed.
Okay.
There's a book about that.
Then there's also the question of sort of how this was done. And to me, there's two parts of that. One is just on the merits, how it was done. And I think I don't know how anyone can think it wasn't done poorly. But then the larger question is and it can just be one bad day, but if they're supposed to be smart, savvy, and everything else, and all of a sudden a much cleaner, whatever, if this is evidence of how they managed the process, they completely blew it yesterday.
Yeah, I'll say two things on that, and I wrote this stuff today too. Their first piece on their checklist is better process, and it's totally fair to look at the first day and say, well, that's not a great start. I do think, and I've said this before in other things we've argued about in the past, like when you're going to say this, you did this wrong, I think it's worth stopping to say, like, well, how should you have done it right? Right.
Right.
And so I've gamed out like alternate scenarios. What if you'd done it this way? What if you'd done it that way? And if you work your way through it, you'll find that every road is rocky and every road is messy and every road would have created its own different awkwardness and messinesses. I still think at the end of the day that they did not choose the right road, because better to have sort of an awkward situation of people dealing with reality than to put people in the situation of sort of unwittingly dealing with a fiction, which is what happened yesterday.
Right.
So if they had done it early in the season like Washington, that would have created its own set of complications and messiness. If they would have done it yesterday morning before the media session, that would have been a mess, a different kind of mess, but it would have been a mess. It was going to be a mess either way.
It was an honest
Yes, they chose the wrong mess. They put people in the situation yesterday of really dealing with what was a fiction.
Right.
What they knew was a fiction, but the people dealing with it did not know.
And
I think that was wrong.
And I would argue, and again, I say this, I like Jason. I respect the work that he's done on behalf of the city. I think he has Memphis's best interests at heart. I think the stuff that he did on the ownership stuff, untangling all that, I think the new television deal, like he's a smart guy, right?
Right.
I have no doubts about that. And I don't know Zach as well, but my dealings with him have been great, and I sort of believe in, I don't think you have to be a fossil to get stuff done well. I mean, John Calipari was an unbelievably great coach at 28 or whatever he was at UMass. So,
right.
I think, looking at the messes, they chose the mess that protected themselves. And in this way, A, they didn't have to, it didn't actually protect themselves, but they thought it would. A, they didn't have to go out and face the media, which they don't want to do. And in fact, today they are, the way they're doing it is is doing it in handpicked clusters. I don't know what the aversion in that organization is to having a press conference.
Well, and they didn't get a full day of players complaining about J.B. Bickerstaff
and
getting dismissed.
And they didn't get a full day of play. Yes. So those are the two things.
Yep.
They didn't get people saying, I don't know why they fired J.B. It was unfair. He whatever. So they didn't get that. They didn't put themselves in line for that criticism. And they didn't put themselves out front to take questions.
Oh, I agree.
And so what they did was they protected themselves, and they instead humiliated. I don't know, humiliated. Like, Chris Wallace is going to get plenty of money, and has he been assigned and whatever? I don't feel that bad for Chris Wallace. And I think JB, I think it's weird. I think it's also weird to let JB do the meetings with the players. What do the players think as they walk away?
I wrote that too. What value do you set aside, like, optics and what's right and wrong? What value, which all matters, but what value is it to you as an organization to have a coach doing exit interviews with players if he's not going to be your coach?
You would think would actually take advantage of that time.
Like, how does that intel do anything for you?
You would think you would take advantage of that meeting opportunity to sit down with Zach and say, this is what the actual people who are going to be here have planned for you, as opposed to after the fact trying to clean it up by calling their agents and saying, this is what we did.
Some of these players, all these players were probably already headed to the airport when all this stuff broke. And so you have
I mean, you got Mike Conley. What, you know, no words. Like, it's Mike Conley.
Yep.
Now, I don't think practically. Do you think it's going to, like, Jonas Valanciunas could not have been more dead set on returning to Memphis yesterday, right? He loves it. Loves it. Loves the opportunity. Mostly he just likes playing, right?
Yep.
And he gets the confidence from playing because he likes JB and he knows JB likes him. Do you think this has any impact on their decisions?
The players' decisions?
Yeah, DeLon and Jonas.
It doesn't change the landscape. The financial structures and the incentives and the contractual stuff that is going to govern a lot of this is still there. I think the new coaching hire matters. And, like, because that new coach is going to talk to these players and be involved in that, and they're going to say, like, well, how do you plan to use me? And, like, so, yeah, I mean, I think it matters, but I don't think it's determinative yet. I think there's a lot to figure out.
In terms of the new coach, it strikes me that there's not even much point exploring this until the lottery.
That's a good question. I suspect that the first hire made will be a front office hire, not a coaching hire. And I think that whatever that hire is will probably happen before the lottery. You wonder, you sort of come at that from two directions. To what degree is the team want to wait to figure out what's going on, what's happening going forward with the lottery? And to what degree do people who are thinking about taking the job want to know, like, what am I coaching?
Right. You got Zion. It's a different job.
Right. And so that would not surprise me, because the lottery is not the draft, right? The lottery is May 14th.
Right. It's not that long away. Wait.
There are going to be coaches let go after May 14th, probably, because there's always unexpected stuff when the playoffs are over, like we've seen it here, right? And so the idea of hiring a coach after May 14th is not a big deal at all. And so I don't expect a coaching hire to happen quickly, no. And I would not be surprised at all if it happened after that.
Do you have any sense of names that are out there for either the executive or the coach?
No. I mean, you could make stuff up.
Who are just the making? Who would you even make stuff up?
I didn't want to do that, so I didn't really think about that. You can go.
You can
go online and find articles about, like, you know, Kevin Hartman says every year these the next
ten. Right,
he hasn't done it yet this year. You can go find his last year.
Here's the three San Antonio assistants.
Like, here's David Vanterpool. Here's Nate Tibbetts, and here, you know, there's all that.
It's that typical list, and it's sort of an Ed Stefanski character is the kind of person that you would want as a. Although he was never resident, he was never here. I mean, he was here, but he didn't live here.
Yeah, and I think that's important.
The person has to live here.
It has to be here. That is the people I've talked to, probably people you've talked to, that is what they sort of intimate. Like, you know, it sounds like, you know, the X's and O's veteran coach kind of thing. And so we'll see. And I haven't had time to think about, like, who are ex-GMs who are not currently with teams, right? If you want to think about that, you can probably come up with a list of, like, speculative names, but I haven't had time to think about that.
The merits.
Tom Penn, we can get another lawyer.
Well, Dave Yeager's available. We get the gang back together. Right. The merits of JB.
I think JB was a borderline case. I think Wallace, it was time to go.
Right.
I think JB was very much a borderline case. On one side of the ledger, he was under contract. his performance had improved over the course of the season. He had the ear and the belief of his locker room and players who still matter to you going forward. And also, you're about to hire your fifth coach, Robert Perez. Under Robert Perez's ownership, it's about to be the fifth coach since 2012. And so you're adding more sort of damage to your reputation as a volatile place for coaches. So all of that would ward you against making the coaching change. Another side, like I think what Bickerstaff demonstrated as a coach was still like very questionable. There's real questions about his game management, about strategy, about managing players and that decision making. And so it is very possible they have cleared the way for an upgrade, but it's uncertain whether it's an upgrade. And meanwhile, you know, there's all that damage in terms of player relations and in terms of your reputation as a place where coaches don't last.
Right. Well, it was certainly an interesting day, and we will be meeting with them, and we'll have more stuff up to. Oh, we didn't even mention the ping pong balls. That's also happening today.
Yep.
I mean, we know what we want, right?
Yeah, not the way it's set up. Nine is best, and eight is next, and seventh is worst, and so yeah.
What are the chances? Maybe I ask you if they finish eighth. What are the chances that they will be pushed down to ninth in the lottery? Do you know the answer?
There's been other news on the Grizzlies front the last day or two,
so we haven't really looked at that. But yes, ninth is best, eighth is second best, and seventh is worst.
Right.
And but either way, they're going to be in the lottery, and either way, something good could have come out.
No matter what happens today, we're not going to know the outcome of their pick until May 14th.
Were you bothered, by the way, apart from Wallace announcing Wallace was evidently not authorized to say that Bickerstaff was coming back.
That caught them by surprise that he said that so affirmatively, but at the same time, no one told him that wasn't the case either.
Right, right.
And so, I don't know what to do with that.
And then the other question is, he said, when Peter asked him if they had a plan, he said it's too early to know. Were you offended by that, or is that right? Because it is too early to know because we don't know where the lottery sits.
Having Zion Williamson or not having Zion Williamson will dictate direction for anybody. And so, yes, that didn't bother me. I do think, and I wrote about this a little bit today, there are broader questions of direction that are bigger than that, questions of philosophy. And my sense was Wallace is always pretty reactive. And so, do you think the best way to build a team is piling up high draft picks like Philadelphia and Oklahoma City, or is the best way to build a team trying to stay competitive and churning within the context of that, like Indiana, Utah? Like, what does Zach Lyman think about that, right? To me, but the idea of this is our specific direction move by move this summer, that has to be dictated by other things.
Right. All right. We will talk to you about this, I'm sure, more on Monday. We're going to take a break. Oh, when we come back, we'll give you the poll results. Jeffrey, tell people what the poll is. The poll is up, and our poll question is,
taking all things into consideration, are you happy with what the Grizzlies did on Thursday?
Okay, and when we come back, we will tell you where we stand on that poll, and the phone number is 535-3776, 535-3776. We'll ask you that question directly. How are you feeling today in the wake of everything that happened yesterday? Back in a moment on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Show. Phone number is 535-3776, 535-3776. We are taking your calls on how you feel about the Grizzlies today and what happened yesterday. Jeffrey, what is the current percentages on the poll? The question was,
taking all things into consideration, are you happy with what the Grizzlies did Thursday? 74% say yes, 26% say no.
How about that?
That was kind of what I figured.
Okay. Let's. The phone number is 535-3776, 535-3776. We'll start with our friend Peter in Manhattan. Peter.
Hey, Jeff, as a New York lawyer, I can confirm I am not in the front office yet, but stay tuned.
But I think you got. I think you have a good shot. I do think you've got a good shot. I think you've got the inside track. So
it sounds like it.
Yes. So what say you?
Well, I don't like how all of this has gone down, because given the only sample size we have, yesterday's turn of events, if you're assuming that this is Jason and that, like, that's the decision they made of how things were going to go, that doesn't inspire a ton of confidence to me. If it's Parrott's decision and they can't sort of be the strong voice to say, no, there's a better way, and Parrott's still going to just lord over this the way he does, also not thrilled with that, with the continued reactionary, secretive uncertainty. But look, no disrespect to New York lawyers. We're smart people with infinite smarts, but that doesn't mean we can do everything. And I still don't see – I know they're going to hire more people, but these guys have been in the front office for a year, 2 years, where the record's not all that great. So how much of this is truly a shakeup? Do we even know?
Right. It's there's right now, at least, there's nobody new. It's different. It's shaking things up internally, but it's not bringing in anyone certainly new, anyone who hasn't been part of the process for the last several years. That's certainly true. So you're a little skeptical, not happy with how it went, but you do understand that New York lawyers have superpowers. So that's all
good. Absolutely. You and I both know that. So whenever we decide to take over, I don't know, the magic, you know, right, we'll go up against Kleiman and Wexler for all their work.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it. 535-3776, 535-3776. We go to Rich in Harbortown. Rich, how are you?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you today?
Good. How are you feeling about this?
Well, so first of all, just as a quick prologue, you and I have a lot in common. I'm also from Buffalo. Oh. I'm also friends with the DeWeese family. So we've had this conversation about Chris Walsh before. I felt he's had to go for a couple of years now. Obviously, Don disagrees. So all that said, I'm also in agreement with you. I think it had to be done. I'm just absolutely exasperated and frankly disgusted by how it went down. We just looked like amateurs. I text with a friend who's a Bulls fan, and they're not known for their front office skills lately, but he's even making fun of me, saying, geez, you guys had that season, you had the play to convey, and now this. So, you know, all had to be done. Horrible, horrible execution. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Always good to speak to another Buffalonian. That's what we call ourselves, Buffalonians. 535-3776. 535-3776 is the phone number. It is Lazarus in Whitehaven. Lazarus, how are you?
What up, Jeff and Jeff?
We are good. What do you think?
All right, I'm going to keep this short. They could have gone about it a little better, but it's done, and I love it. The only thing that kept me from totally getting off is Chris Wallace still having a good job. All right.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it. I don't mind at all that they – I mean, I didn't need people's heads on spikes. I didn't need to be shot at dawn. Heck, if they wanted to keep JB still on staff, I didn't want him running the front office. And he is not going to be running the front office, and that's what I desired. And that part of it is absolutely a good thing. 535-3776, 535-3776. We go to Al in East Memphis. Al, you're on.
Hey, Jeff. Nice talking to you. It's a pleasure.
Good talking to you.
Yeah, we have something in common. I like Buffalo wings. So,
that's, you know, here's the thing, Al. I want you to know, in Buffalo, they don't call them Buffalo wings. They're just
right.
They're just wings.
Just wings.
They're
yes.
just wings. We named okay. them. They're just wings. So,
okay.
So go ahead.
Okay.
What do you think? Besides your affection for Buffalo wings,
I think it was awful. I mean, I remember I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, so I've been through some ups and downs. But I think I kind of look at it the same way when Tony Dungy was fired by the Buccaneers and in Tampa. I mean, all we talked about was, you know, seeing Tony Dungy leaving his office in the rain. You know, I mean, he had only been the winningest coach in, you know, in Tampa Bay's history. I mean, that's not the case with JB, but, you know, just to be blindsided like that, I mean, I stuck with my Buccaneers, and since I'm still in the area, I'm going to stick with the Grizzlies, but it was ugly, and it will be a black eye on the franchise for a long time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. 535-3776. I am someone, by the way, who has always said, I've pushed back, because when a lot of firings happen, what you hear is, oh, I don't mind that it happened. I just don't like the way it was done. You heard that about Larry Finch and this proverbial story about him being fired at the hot dog stand. You heard about it in Philip Fulmer. Same thing. I didn't mind being fired. Didn't like the way it was done. And I usually think that's BS. What people usually, when they say they don't like the way it was done, what they really mean is they don't like the substance of the decision. I think here it really is a matter of people object to the way that it was done. And they object to the way it was done because it particularly with JB, was sort of made fools of him. And it was in the service of their own protection. They can say they were protecting the players, but I think they were protecting themselves. It certainly was in service of protecting themselves, even if that wasn't the inspiration. And so that part of the decision-making process, I don't like. And it was not their first decision I disapprove of. But hopefully the next decisions will be better. And let's be clear. We're dealing with a front office that drafted Ashim Thabeet, signed Chandler Parsons, and traded a first-round pick for Jeff Green. I'm going to say that this front office cannot do a worse job over the next few years than that. We go to Fletch. Fletch, downtown. How are you, Fletch?
How you doing, buddy? It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Yesterday, the way it was handled was definitely awkward. The decisions were 100% correct, and one of them very long overdue. I know some people were a little disappointed that JB go, but if you watch the last 2 minutes of the Dallas game, you'll understand why he just couldn't get us there as a coach. I mean, out of a timeout, we're not scoring, et cetera. I felt a little bad for Chris Wallace. I'm glad he gets to his victory lap, keep his job somewhat in the organization and get paid for his, you know, final years through his contract, same thing with Hollinger. Anyone who doesn't have faith or has never met Jason Wexler does not understand how excited I am today for the future of this team. He's outstanding. You could actually put him in charge of Mud Island. That thing would turn a profit. That's how good he is. We're very blessed to have him here, and he will help us. They will get a marketing firm. I know that's in the works. They're getting a marketing firm to work with him, and that will help, too, to solidify the message so things like yesterday don't happen. But unfortunately, you got to let the NBA season to conclude if you want to hire people with NBA experience that are under contract with other teams. So now it's open. They'll hire the right people. And I think it's a bright day. Yesterday was the last blip and the last goof of the last Tyreek Evans trade I think we see around here in a long time. So I'm very pumped, man.
Thanks, Fletch. Appreciate it. 535-3776. Oh, 535-3776. I meant to – I screwed that up somehow. Can you drop? Yeah, okay. We go to Corey in Lakeland. Corey, you're on.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. So, I'm definitely fine with the decision, but like most people, just the way that it went down was, you know, kind of, you know, one of those things that you hate to see people, you know, kind of get blindsided in that way. But at the same time, it was long overdue, I think, for the coaches as well. But I guess my concern is, like, as far as coaching and these high, you know, basketball IQ executives that they're looking to bring on, my concern is, like, who wants to come here? You know, just based on the history and things of that nature, you know, what type of coach can we get? You know, because I think that's important. I think with the draft coming up and all of that, you know, who's going to be making that decision? Because, of course, we don't know what if we'll convey the pick or not, but you know, that's important, you know, so that's kind of my biggest concern there. It needed to be done, but it's like, you know, what's the future hold? You know, who wants to come here and kind of take that on when, you know, they see kind of how things are handled here, you know, do you want to be a part of that?
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I mean, there's no question. This will be the fifth coach under Robert Pera in 7 years. And so if you are an executive or a coach, you have to look at this with some skepticism. You just do. They will. Having said that, if you meet with Jason and Zach and you meet with Robert and you come away impressed, that's all very possible. And the other thing is, I do think the lottery will have a lot to do with this. And it's why I don't think there will be a coach hired until after the lottery. Because if you have Zion on your team, it opens up a whole different pool of candidates than if you don't. And so we will see what happens there. But there's no question, this is not the most desirable. It's actually one reason that argues for what they did. They said, we got a smart guy here on staff in Zach. We can't go hire David Griffin or name you whoever, whatever. The best of the best aren't coming here. The proven executives aren't coming here. And so let's grow our own is, I think, part of the argument here. 535-3776, 535-3776. We go to Max in Chicago. Max.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good.
So I got two broader overall points in terms of the substance of the decisions made yesterday that I think you've hit on, but I don't think we have hit them hard enough. And I understand that Klieman is young and that you cited Theo Epstein as another example of a young, up-and-coming general manager making decisions. But the problem with that comp is that most of these young, up-and-coming GMs, whether it's in baseball or basketball, they're in data and analytics. They're young whiz kids coming from Ivy League colleges and or Wall Street, and they're at the forefront of processing data and putting teams at an advantage of figuring out personnel decisions. And I think hiring someone with less than a year's experience in basketball ops is extremely risky for a team that, frankly, isn't in a position to make risky decisions. And doing contract negotiations, while important, and I'm a lawyer myself, it really doesn't put you in a position to make basketball decisions. But I think second and more importantly, you know, we've discussed at ad nauseum about the decision makers in the front office, who's pulling the strings, who's making the decisions. Is it Chris Wallace? Is it not Chris Wallace? And we look back today, and nothing has changed. The exact same people are in positions to make decisions. Now, the titles have changed, but why are we to believe that any of the decision-making processes are going to be different? Perhaps they will, but everyone is the same in the front office today as it was yesterday, and that just makes me worried.
All right, thanks very much. I'll address both those things. One is the point you make about Zach is exactly – is related to the point that I made with Chris, is that, yes, there are other young NBA execs, but even the young NBA execs tend to have deeper experience than Zach has in doing what GMs do. And I think that's right. And I think you're exactly right. Working with salary cap and contracts is different than working with data. Honestly, they're more sort of from the John Hollinger school, data on who makes the best player, on who is the best player. And so that is there's no question that's different. And there's no question this is risky, that he's – most people would say this is a hell of a lot to put on him at this stage of his career, and it's why I think the people around him matter. I do think in terms of the second point, which is – we don't know how this process is going to go. I think Chris's point there is right. Like this idea that there's going to be I'll tell you who makes the decision. Robert Pera makes the decisions. And that's true before, and it's true now. Now, who manages the decision-making tree is different, and I don't think Chris Wallace was particularly good at that. And I think now you might have someone who is cleaner and more efficient at that, but it will be a group decision. Jeffrey's signaling to me that we have to break. Is that true? I can't get to these other people who are on the line.
We could try to take them at the end of the show, but we do need them.
Okay, well then I do have to tell you about Redeemer's Group though first. If your floors are sinking or sloping, if you got cracks in the walls of your home, call Redeemer's Group, 541-8765, 541-8765. Seriously, no reason not to do it. It will not cost you a penny to have an expert sent to your home at no cost at all. They will assess the situation and tell you how you should proceed. If there is something to be fixed, mention my name, Jeff Calkins. you get $50 off. But it won't cost you a penny to have the expert analysis. So give them a call, Redeemers Group, 541-8765, or on the web, redeemersgroup.com. We'll be back with the one story you've been waiting for. It's Jeff Dawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It was a busy day for my computer yesterday. Very busy day for my computer yesterday as I was tweeting, writing, texting. Not texting, that wouldn't be on my computer.
Deleting.
Deleting, yes, thank you. Deleting, rewriting. Thank heavens I have a spiffy computer that I got from Cooper Systems. That you, by the way, can also get a computer for computer from Cooper Systems and pay less and get more. Pay less and get more. Lee and Lauren Cooper, they've been Memphians forever. And they will take care of you. Walk into their showroom. They got Apple, Dell, Lenovo, Hewlett, everything you want. Want them to design a gaming system for you? They can do that. If you want them to fix your computer, which is one of the things they did for me, they can do that because their technicians are right there. They're not going to send something off to some other city for 6 months. By the time you get it back, you've already decided to buy a new computer. Nope. Fix you right up. Lee and Lauren Cooper. They're in the Mount Moriah office park. Go check them out or give them a call at 360-9679, 360-9679. Let's get to the story that you've been waiting for.
It's that time again on 92.9. Jeff and Jeffrey have kept you hanging long enough. It is, at long last, the one story you've been waiting for.
Well, I was going to tell you about this new CNBC hack that they have for saving money. Did you hear this? They have a new hack. CNBC posted a hack for saving money at restaurants. You know what it is?
Don't tip.
Tip less.
Yeah.
What a stupid hack.
Yeah, that's not for me.
No, tip more.
Yes. Especially if you get good service.
Just tip more. Those people need money more than you do, probably. Tip more. Don't tip less.
Maybe not for me, but yeah.
You can save a few bucks if you tip on the subtotal before they add the tax.
Well, yeah.
Well, also, if you give 10% as opposed to 15%, you would save bucks. And if you don't tip at all, you'd save money.
Yeah.
This is not a hack. This is cheapness.
Yes.
This is miserliness. This is the kind of hack that was Scrooge in the Christmas Carol before. Like, is that not a hack?
Yes.
That's how to be a jerk.
Yes. That's poor form.
But then I realized that really the story that we have ignored is that I'm making my football coaching debut tonight.
Yes.
And I'm tempted to urge you not to be there to stave off the humiliation. But it's going to be gorgeous, right? And it's Friday
especially
night stripes.
When the rest of the forecast this weekend not looking good. And enjoy yourself
and
tonight.
And you got the Liberty Bowl. You got Memphis football. Let's be honest. The Express aren't there anymore. Johnny Manziel's not walking in that door.
R.I.P.
Right? And I can't. That's some comfort. Whatever I do offensively can't be a hell of a lot worse than the Express.
You make an excellent point there.
Right? I'm going to be upgrading the offensive production.
Yes.
So come on out. It kicks off at 7. Tiger Walk is at 6. I will be there. It'll be me and Wolo. And we are going to crush it. Team Radio is going to absolutely crush. I will be going head up against Jarvis, who's the defensive coordinator on Team TV.
Former Tiger DB.
And I hate to embarrass the old man.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm like Spurrier. Stop me. If you don't want to be embarrassed,
well, listen,
stop me.
Get after my quarterback.
Yeah, get after my quarterback. Yeah. I'm not.
It's not your job.
It's my job to hold down the score.
Absolutely not. Your job is actually to put up points.
Support the program. Seriously. It is. Wonderful things have happened with Memphis football, and Mike Norvell does a great job. I do not, but I'll give it my best shot. And so come on out tonight to the Liberty Bowl after you watch the dramatic ping-ponging of the ping-pong balls this afternoon. I gather it's going to be televised on NBA TV.
That is my understanding.
7, 8, and 9. We'll see where the Grizzlies are. I'm betting 7.
That feels right, yeah.
I'm betting 7. What is next?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Chris Mannix will join their program at 11:25. You'll get the national perspective of everything that went down for the Grizzlies. Eric in studio today. John Martin joins him during the second hour on the Gary Parrish Show today. We'll have Dan Wolkin at 4:20, Jeff at 5 o'clock. Gary, of course, is in studio today.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back here Monday, and we will have more to talk about, I am quite certain. Please join us then. Jason John coming up next, but for now, our work here is done.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.